On today's show, I'm joined again by special guest co-host Austin Church, who recently published the book Free Money. It's all about setting your rates as a freelancer. We're going to talk today about how do I take that big survival number we talked about last episode and break it down to know exactly how much to charge my clients by the hour or by the project so that I can be successful long term. It's all on today's episode of Freelance to Founder. Here we go. I'm Preston.
And I'm Clay, and this is Freelance to Founder.
You're listening to a Q&A episode where listeners like you from around the world write in to ask us questions about freelancing or building an agency.
We've each built multiple six or seven figure businesses.
On this show, we're changing the lives of everyday freelancers just like you.
Discovering this podcast a few months ago really like changed the trajectory of my journey.
Really, really valuable stuff. I've made a ton of notes and I plan to put this stuff into action immediately.
Discovering that I'm a founder instead of a freelancer has been amazing for me.
If you're ready to push past hourly rates and build a business that sets you free, then you've got to join us.
Just submit your question at freelancetofounder.com/ask and we'll do our best to answer it. And we'll be right back with today's question right after this. Have you ever noticed that many of the problems people call in with on this show can be solved by hiring someone? Sometimes you need a full-fledged team, other times maybe just a simple assistant, or an expert in something you're not great at. Whatever your reason for hiring, we recommend you take a look at LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn isn't just another job board. As you may know already, LinkedIn has a vast network of more than a billion professionals, which makes it the best place to hire. It gives you access to professionals you can't find anywhere else. And LinkedIn Jobs makes the process of finding the perfect teammate easy and intuitive. Hiring is always easy when you have access to so many quality candidates. So easy, in fact, that 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours when using LinkedIn Jobs. I've used it myself, and it was so simple. In fact, I've made multiple hires using LinkedIn Jobs. And did I mention, by the way, it's free to business owners like me and you. Post your job for free at linkedin.com/freelance. That's linkedin.com/freelance to post your job for free, or click the link in our show description. Terms and conditions apply. You know, working from home is mostly great, but there are some days when I realize I haven't left my house or even my chair like all day. Have you been there? Getting outside to exercise or making a trip to the gym are just harder now that my office is just a flight of stairs away. If you're stuck in the same rut as me, then you should try Hydro. That's Hydrow. With the Hydro Rower and 20 minutes a day, getting a full body workout is so much easier. Hydro can work up to 86% of your muscles in just 20 minutes for an insane effective home workout. That's because Hydro pairs the effectiveness of rowing with the power of technology to connect you with over 5,000 video trainings, classes, and workouts. And get ready to get out from behind your home desk, because after a few months of daily rowing with Hydro, your partner's going to want to take you out for a night on the town to show you off. This spring, join the growing rowing community at Hydro. Head over to hydro.com and use code freelance to save up to $400 off your Hydro. That's Hydrow.com and promo code freelance to save $400. Hydro.com, promo code freelance, or just click the link in our show description. Hello and welcome back to another episode of Freelance to Founder. Today, of course, is a special Q&A episode where we take questions from listeners like you and answer them on the air as best we can. Joining me today is a special co-host, my friend Austin Church. Hey, Austin, welcome.
Thanks for having me, Preston. I'm delighted to be here with you.
Absolutely excited to have you. If you've been following along on the podcast, Austin was with me last week on last week's Q&A episode, and I'm excited to have him back. We're promoting a couple of things with Austin, things that you will be excited about, I promise. First of all, Austin is joining us for a special webinar. I believe April 18th is the date we've set for that. We'll have a link to the details in the description of this episode, but he's going to teach us five minute genius freelancing hacks that will really, you know, improve your productivity, help you make a little bit more money. And they're just going to be a bunch of small wins that come together well, pile up together to make a big difference in your freelancing business. And so be sure to tune into that. It's completely free. We're not going to upsell you on anything like that, but it's definitely going to be a great webinar with Austin, also presented by our friends at Moxie. So Moxie and Millo have partnered together. Austin's also got a new book out. Austin, tell us a little bit about your book if listeners didn't hear last time.
Yeah. So the book is called Free Money. It's a pricing and money mindset guide. It's the guide I wish had existed when I got started freelancing back in April 2009. Had no clue what I was doing. I made the mistakes that many new freelancers make when trying to set prices, you know, make a little bit of money, but I quickly found out that, you know, being a writer and making money from writing were two very different things. And so the book just lays out a step-by-step process for setting smart, strategic, sustainable prices that move you toward your desired lifestyle and not away from it. And there's some other stuff in the book, principles, you know, how do you actually win projects at those prices and take it from theoretical to practical? There's a lot of good stuff in it. So check it out. I love it.
Yeah, absolutely. And you can just Google Austin Church Money Book. It'll come up very first, or we'll be sure to have some links in the show description for you. But let's, today we're going to veer a little bit from our traditional format where we take a question from you, our listeners, and I'm actually going to ask Austin some questions based on some things from his book and things that I think will be helpful to you as well. And so, you know, last episode, if you tuned in last time Austin was here, feel free to pause this and go back and check it out if you haven't. But last time Austin was here, we talked about getting to that survival number. Like, what does my survival number look like that I have to meet in order to survive really as a freelancer? And so I wanted to ask today, Austin, like, okay, let's say I listened last time, I figured out my survival number, but I maybe got this big number, like I need, you know, $8,000 a month, or I need $120,000 a year, or I need $40,000 a year, whatever. I have this big chunk. How do I now convert that to, like, when a client says, how much do you charge per hour or mm-hmm. per project? How do I know what to say? I can't say, well, I'm trying to get to $40,000 this year, right? It's like, what do I actually say to my client?
Yeah. So that's a great question. Like, you can know how much you want to make across a year or in a month, but that doesn't get you all the way to a price on a specific project. And so I want to talk about a couple of gotchas, a couple of oversights that a lot of freelancers and consultants make when they're setting their prices. And the first one, once they've know about how much money they want to make per year or per month. But one of the first ones is overestimating how much they're going to work in a year, right? Because when you look at a year, you're not going to work every day. You know, you probably are going to take weekends. You're probably
overestimating, like I think I'm going to work 40 hours a week times 52 weeks or
yes,
something.
Yes. Yeah. And so the first, I call the first number you need to arrive at beyond your survival number is your true availability in a year. So if you subtract weeks that you're going to be out of office or on vacation, if you subtract a certain number of sick days or personal days, maybe national holidays, maybe your birthday, like there's going to be this discrete number of days and weeks that you will just not work. And so your true availability is 52 weeks minus however many weeks you probably don't work. And that number varies from one person to the next. For me, it ends up being about 6 weeks. So my true availability in a year is 46. 52 minus 6, 46, right? So once I have that true availability, like how many weeks am I going to be available and working, presumably during a year? Then I have to think about, I call it effectiveness. I don't think I originated that. I couldn't tell you where I learned it. But the basic idea is, you know, you have a certain number of waking hours during any given week, and you're not going to work all of them. You really shouldn't. You will die, right? But even if you're working, let's say, 40 hours a week, you can't bill a client for every hour you work.
And that's, I think that's the key word, right? Bill. Our freelance calculator. Yes. So at freelancerate.com, we've got our free calculator. And it actually, I've been surprised how closely it follows Austin's book. So if you're liking some of the things Austin's talking about, you should check out the free calculator at freelancerate.com. But we call it just billable hours, right? Yeah, there are just certain hours that you won't be able to bill for.
Right? Mm-hmm. And whether you like it or not, you've got to answer email. You're going to mm-hmm. break for yep. lunch. Probably should go use the bathroom, right? Every like, yeah, every once in a while, you're going to exercise maybe. You're going to watch YouTube videos. Maybe you're upskilling. You take a course. Like, there's time that you're working that you aren't spending on yeah. a client project, or even if you are, maybe for whatever reason, you can't bill for that. And so effectiveness is like the percentage of hours that you can actually bill for. And so for a lot of freelancers, you know, it's around 60%. Some freelancers, especially consultants, it may look more like 50%. So if you work 40 hours in a week, like you work 5 8-hour days, you're only billing 20 hours to clients. Mm-hmm. So your effectiveness at 50% leaves you with 20 hours per week that you can really bill for. And the gotcha here, or the oversight, is a lot of freelancers, when they're going to set their rates, simply don't account for effectiveness. Like, they're not mm-hmm. thinking, well, all of these billable hours need to cover my non-billable hours. And so when I set my rates, I need to be smart, and I need to ensure that, first of all, the weeks that I am working will pay for the weeks that I'm not. And then second of all, the hours that I can bill for are going to pay for or cover the hours I can't bill for. So you have to be thinking about your true availability or work weeks in a year. You have to think about your effectiveness, or the number of hours you can realistically bill during an average week. So once you have those numbers and you spend a little time thinking about that, then you can go back to your annual survival number, or like the quote unquote salary you'd like to pay yourself. That's mm-hmm. the wrong word, but mm-hmm. you get what I'm saying. Like, how much do I want to make in a year? Okay, great. How many hours can I realistically bill for in a year, right? And so if you have the number of hours you can realistically bill for in a year, you can divide that into your survival number, which is the amount of money you need to make in a year. And that's how you come up with your survival rate. Now, once you have that number, okay, cool. Then you can start to like calculate some smart, strategic, sustainable prices, right? Mm-hmm. Like, hey, I know about how much I need to make per hour mm-hmm. in order to not get myself into financial trouble. And that's just the foundation, though, right? You can build on that.
And I think probably listeners are going, well, wait a minute. Preston and Clay all the time are saying, like, don't charge hourly, separate yourself from hourly billing because mm-hmm. you can't make more hours in the day, right? And so I would just add, even when you separate yourself from hourly billing, you still want to know more or less how much something ought to bring in revenue on an hourly basis or some kind of unit basis. Meaning, mm-hmm. if I'm a writer, Austin, you're a writer, and you said you started out writing, and I've done some freelance writing work as well. So I might ask myself, how long does it take me to write an article that's, 2,000 words or something, right? Okay, it's going to take me X number of hours. Okay, so if my survival rate, right, is a certain amount, then I have to charge that much or more per article in order mm-hmm. to hit my survival rate. And so yeah. I think it's important to realize that you don't have to charge hourly. Even though we're working this out hourly, right? You can still charge by the project. You can be on retainer, whatever, to hit that ultimate number at the end of the year that you want to hit. But it is important to break it down just for visibility on your side. Mm-hmm. Even if you're never going to say to your client, I charge $55 an hour, you might say to your client, I charge, $3,000 for a website or whatever. You still want to know more or less, because your time when you're a freelancer are your costs of goods sold, are your units that you're selling. Mm-hmm. So you want to make sure that you're selling them for more money than they're costing you, basically,
yeah.
right?
Yeah. Whether, yeah. And like, so I love that you brought that up. I am not an advocate for the hourly model, but if you are charging a flat fee for a website or for a writing project, you know, and with one client, that project takes you 10 hours to deliver. Mm-hmm. And with another client, it takes you 18 hours to deliver. Don't you want that information so that, you know, with client A, where it always takes longer, and that your effective hourly rate, meaning how much you actually make, even if you're charging a flat fee, you need to be able to make a side-by-side comparison with client A, client B, and say, well, hey, I might even need to break up with client A because mm-hmm. just the demands or constraints of the project or how broken their internal review processes are, whatever, right? Like, it really helps to have a base unit of calculation, survival yeah. rate, also yeah, to have a more aggressive one, like a dream rate. But what were you going to say?
Yeah, absolutely. We do that with people who call in all the time, and we're like, well, they're like, yeah, I offer graphic design and web design and writing. And we're like, okay, let's talk about
which one pays the best.
Yeah, which one pays the best? They're like, well, I get paid way more to do a website. And we're like, well, do you? Because it also probably takes way more time. And then we start to drill down on, like you said, your effective rate, right? Your mm-hmm. effective hourly rate. And yeah, you might get paid $5,000 to build a website, but it takes you 6 months to do it or something, right?
That's
whereas, right. Whereas it might take you an hour to write an article and you make $500 or something. And so if you break it down by the only reason in my mind to care about your hourly, and I don't even want to call it an hourly rate, but we will just for sake of simplicity. The only reason to care about your hourly rate is just so that you have a unit to work with to then measure everything else against, so you're comparing yes. apples to apples.
And saying, know whether your business is sustainable even, yes. right?
Yeah.
Because
yeah, that's right.
So if you calculate your survival rate, you know, neither Preston, you know, nor I is recommending that that is the rate that you put in front of clients.
Okay. We want However, you to do more than survive.
We want you to do more than survive, but you need to know that number so that if you're doing different types of projects for different types of clients and your effective hourly rate for certain clients or for certain types of work is actually below your survival rate, then that is not sustainable.
Yeah.
So you have to make some definitive changes, either raising your prices with that client. I guess I should have said at the beginning, there is a difference between your rates and your prices. My mm-hmm. rates are internal units of calculation that
That's
I use
so
for
smart
math
to put it that way.
When I'm calculate, I use rates to calculate prices. And so these days I don't ever use my survival rate to calculate prices. I use my dream rate, which is what I need to make per year. And then a lot more on top of that. And that extra on top of that is what I need to make in order to make definitive progress toward my lifestyle and financial goals. So yeah, none of us gets into freelancing to just scrape by. We get into freelancing to truly thrive. And so, no, you can't just be charging your survival rate as an hourly rate and really get ahead. You need to have your dream rate. Use your dream rate to calculate your freelance prices. And then I go into this in the book. Even on top of your dream rate, I recommend what I call a pessimistic price, which is like assume that you need some kind of buffer. I start with 20%. Some sort of buffer for bad behavior. Because there's always scope creep. Like that's what projects do. They creep. That's what scopes do. They creep, right? So the client's going to ask for something extra. You know, there's going to be an extra meeting. There's going to be a bunch of extra emails. There's going to be some hand-holding. They're going to say, hey, can you do this other little thing for us too? And you're like, it'll only take 15 minutes. Sure. But so
you don't account for that.
But that's why it's called pessimistic pricing. Yes. Instead of assuming that clients are always going to be on their best behavior and projects are always going to stay inside of scope, isn't it more realistic to instead add a 20% buffer and call it a pessimistic price, assume that it won't go exactly as planned, and you're still going to be what I'll call profitable even after 10 or 15% extra beyond what you expected, right? And then make it weirdly precise on top of that. Turn zeros into 2.5 or 7.5. That's the last little trick that has been really important for me.
Because it then makes the client feel like it's more custom to them? Or what's the strategy behind that?
Yeah, so I get into the psychology a little bit. Our brains love precision and specificity. Mm-hmm. It's more trustworthy. It's more believable. So if you take a number like 500 and you turn it into 575, it just feels more credible. Like it feels like, oh, this came about through a rigorous mm-hmm. process. Mm-hmm. You take 5,000 and you turn that into 5125, mm-hmm. it just feels more believable. It's the number itself makes our brain like it's called ambiguity aversion, if you want to get really technical, but our brains hate ambiguity and uncertainty so much. And we love certainty and precise mm-hmm. numbers so much that why wouldn't you be strategic in turning those zeros into like 125 or 25 or 75?
Yeah. The client goes, instead of going, oh, is this worth $5,000? They go, oh, that seems like a reasonable amount. He clearly gave that some thought and was specific about what that'll cost. And I think we could manage 5125, right? Instead of like 5,000, it feels like he just pulled that out of thin air.
Exactly. Yeah. If you add specific numbers, it doesn't feel like you pulled the number out of thin air. Yeah. And the last thing I'll say on that is those increments, you know, turning 500 into 525 or 575, they're never big enough to lose you the project. Like a client willing to pay 5,000 will pay 5125 or 4975. Yeah. So there's no real danger that those incremental increases are going to cost you a project. But if you get into that habit of making your project prices weirdly precise, those extra little bumps can really add up across a year. So we're talking about the difference of making an extra $5,000 or $10,000, you know, $75 and $125 at a time.
Yeah, I think that's really smart. And I've often found too in the negotiating process, if they're like, oh, it feels a little bit steep, you know, 52, 55 feels a little bit steep. Then I'm like, you know what? Why don't we just do it for an even $5,000? I can make that work.
Right? That's right.
And they love like getting that little extra cream off the top. So
you let them win, but because it was a weirdly precise number, it doesn't truly cost you anything.
That's right.
But yeah,
I mean, ideally, and most of the time, you'll just get the extra, but it at least gives you some wiggle room when negotiating.
I do it with scope too, where I always try to build a little bit extra into the scope. Mm-hmm. So if they push back on price, I'm like, no problem. How about instead of doing 3 customer interviews, we just do 2? Or how about instead of doing 3 case studies, we just do 1? And they're like, oh, okay. And so that way I'm not discounting. I'm just down adjusting the scope to match the price. Everyone walks away happy. The book goes into some of that stuff too. Like, again, there's a difference between having smart, strategic, sustainable prices and actually winning projects at those prices out in the market. And yeah, that stuff is important to learn too, how to actually win the projects.
Well, Austin, you are so generous. I know if I just kept you on the air, you would just share all your secrets from your book.
Absolutely.
I am going to plug your book for you. Again, it's called Free Money. You can check it out by searching Austin Church Free Money or Austin Church Money Book, something like that. It'll come up right at the first. We'll also make sure to have a link to it in the show description. Austin, over the last couple of episodes, you've been so generous and have really shared some great information with us. Make sure you tune in to Austin's webinar. We're hosting between Moxie and Milo. That'll be April 18th. We'll make sure to have a link in the description as well for that. So lots to check out in the description, as well as lots to learn from Austin here in these couple of episodes that he's helped us with. So thank you so much for joining us for a second week. And we will talk to you another time, Austin. Thanks so much, man. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. I love being here.
All right. We'll see ya.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Freelance to Founder, a collaboration between Milo, Drippify, and the Pogglomerate.
You can find links to my business, Millo, Clay's business, Dripify, and of course our podcasting partner, The Podglomerate, all in the description of this episode.
Remember to call in for your own episode at freelancetofounder.com.
A very special thank you to the members of the Millo and Podglomerate teams who work behind the scenes to make this production possible.
To stream past episodes, visit freelancetofounder.com or search Freelance to Founder wherever you get your podcasts. And that's it for now. Until next time, see ya.
We will see you guys on the next episode of Freelance to Founder.